All right. Welcome to the Big Ticket Life Show, where leaders are sharing stories of healing, impact, and courageous leadership in their lives and businesses. You know, I'm so excited about where the Big Ticket Life Show has gone. We're now giving you this immersive experience with the show. You can watch live on Tuesdays on social media, on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Listen on all the major players where you pick up your favorite podcast, which I'd love for you to pick up Big Ticket Life, subscribe, follow, select the alert so you know when we are live and when we bring you a new episode. And now I'm really excited to say we're on DBTV, the app found on Roku, Fire Sticks, and all smart TVs. You know, DBTV has something for everyone: cooking shows, business shows, children's shows, music, sports, entertainment, soon to be jokes. Not for me, from a really great joke man coming. So much more. And of course, now the Big Ticket Life is on Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. on DBTV. So thanks for tuning in, viewers over there. Well, I couldn't be more excited to bring you this week's guest, Samuel Smith from the Small Business Surgeon. Welcome to the show, my friend. Appreciate
Jeff,
you being
here. Matt, thank you so much. And I just want to say, dude, in the time I've known you, watching you develop and watching you put together this show and seeing it come to life, dude, it's just absolutely amazing how well you've done, how far you've come with it, man. Well done.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's what I was able to tell my family about getting onto DBTV and the elevation of the show. It's all been a journey. And the lesson was, you know, it just doesn't happen right away. I think we are 100. When I had that announcement, I was 112 or 13 mm-hmm. so episodes in. You know, just doesn't happen overnight in life, right?
Right. I mean, most podcasts don't make it past, what is it, 10 episodes now?
Yeah.
So you've done a lot.
I mean, listen, in my wonderful intro, which is only a few weeks in, the new intro, all the great production you're seeing on your screen and the great audio that you hear, you know, a big principle in business is who, not how. So I don't do any of that how. My amazing how guy is Chris Stone from castahead.net. He is the guy that makes the show run and keeps it the high performance machine that it is. So thank you to Chris, who's back there right now pushing the buttons.
Yeah, we should clap for him.
That's for real. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, you know, on that note of being committed and staying the course, why don't we jump into our time together that way? What are things that you've been committed to recently? Things where you've stayed the course, where you've been saying to yourself, man, is this going to pay off? Give us a few examples.
Oh, man, I give you the best example. You know, last year, I shuttered my media company. I was selling videos and marketing material to business owners. And I made the decision to go all in on being a small business surgeon and having more impact. Because what I found with the business owners was I could make them the best video in the world. I could make them the best media in the world, but they didn't understand how businesses operated, how online distribution operated, how to get views, into leads, leads into clients. They didn't know. And so I stopped what I was doing. I left a very good business, to pursue a great business. And, it was terrifying. Absolutely terrifying because, you know, you go from a relatively stable monthly income. You've got clients coming in every time and you shut the doors on that to go and pursue something you're really passionate about. And so, yeah, for the last few months, I really started full time hard in September of last year. And, ever since January, I've been logging my progress every day, by video. And just committing to being the best small business surgeon I can, and the changes I've seen from focus and commitment over time have been just incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible when we connect ourselves to a passion that really has purpose for others, right? Like it's one thing to be passionate about, you know, anything you might think of. It's another thing to be passionate about something that's connected to purpose.
Absolutely.
And definitive action for people and definite results. So you also, you went and blew up your business. You also went back to school.
Yes. Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, you know, AI is coming And one of the things I never got ever was a college degree. I went straight into the entrepreneurial world. I don't think I had a job past about 18 or 19 years old. It's all just my own business since then. And so I really wanted a degree, and I really wanted some kind of certification. And I looked out, and AI is the future. There's absolutely no avoiding it. And so there was a course at UT that was all online, and they took my portfolio and my business experience and that website right there that you're looking at. They took everything that I'd done and said, you know what? You've got enough life experience to not need the degree requirement. You can come into the postgrad program. And boy, they sold it at, 6 to 8 hours a week. And that was not true. It was 20, 30 hours a week plus going to work. Wow. I would not have started it if I knew how hard it was going to be. But again, I'm not going to quit on that. I'm not going to give up on it. Like example, there was math all over the course, because we're doing AI, we're programming in Python. There's math and equations everywhere. And there were no numbers involved. It was all letters. It was all hypothetical equations. Mm. And so you're seeing equations with all these brackets and all these things. And the course tutor said, okay, most of y'all remember this from high school, so just refer to your high school math notes. I'm like, what? High school was a long time ago for me.
Right. High school math notes. Like those are in a trapper keeper.
Right.
At your mom's house.
Like the majority of the people on the course were college student age, just a little bit older than students going through the natural progression of college. And there was a few of us that were working professionals that were just scratching our heads at this stuff. And I did. I spent a lot of time on Google and a lot of time with Scratch Paper. And then a lot of time on the Python forums trying to figure it all out. And you know what? I did it. I graduated like 18th in the class. So I was quite pleased
about
it. Yeah.
Good for you.
Let's maybe dig into the whole AI thing, because I feel I saw a tremendous graphic the other day, and I'm doing some things in my business life involving AI and being the person who distills it for application for others. Because the reality is a lot of small business owners and people in general, they hear about it, they know about it, they see it. But how to apply it to their life, their business, is a big mystery.
Yeah. Right?
And that's where I see opportunity for people, where there's, where it's mutually beneficial. You can't just take AI and say you're doing AI things and rip people off. That's not good. I've already seen some stuff like that.
It's everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, tell us how you're bringing this from the classroom to Main Street, to the businesses that you help.
Man. In reality, a lot of the businesses I help don't really need AI just yet. There's a lot of guys get distracted by shiny toys, thinking that this is going to be the answer. And AI is great. It's absolutely great. I use GPT-4. I use Midjourney a lot. I use DALL-E a lot when coming up with concepts and designs for things. But your typical small business owner could get very, very lost in the workings of all of it and waste a lot of time. I wouldn't advise trying to implement it in a business directly immediately without learning and understanding it, to be honest. And I know there would be a buzzkill, but this is one of those, it's one of those things. Everybody's doing AI right now. And you mentioned, a lot of it is unnecessary ripoff stuff. What I love to use AI for is frameworks. So if I'm looking at, let's say you want to market a product, it could be any product. You can use GPT-4 and build a prompt in there that will help you to put together a framework for marketing that product step by step by step. What I wouldn't advise doing is having it write all the content, having it write all your hashtags, having it write all your posts, all that stuff, because it's not in a, it doesn't mimic the average human conversation. In a nutshell, the way AI works is it looks around the word that you have, and then it takes references from the prompts you've given it, and it finds the word that's likeliest to be the next best fit that goes in there. So it's not always right.
Good way to describe it.
I mean, it's difficult to describe, but yeah, it's fishing for the next best words. And so, yeah. Like, if it doesn't know the answer, if it's not factually like right, and a lot of the time it is factually right, given, but if it doesn't know the answer, then it will just make something up to go in that hole that's the best fit for what it understands.
Yeah.
And like, language models are not quite, I mean, they can be, but the ones that are free and the ones that you know, click this button to make a social media post and all that stuff, people can instantly tell it's AI.
Yeah.
And so,
abundantly clear.
The best way to use it right now is to click make social media post, then read that post, look at it and go, okay, what is it trying to say in this? And then you take the post and rewrite it in your own language. And that can be a very good use for it. But just to click on post now and let it make the post, number one, it doesn't sound human, and people can see instantly that it's not human. And secondly, the AI that works for Meta and the AI that works for Google and all this other stuff, they can detect when it's written by AI and when it's posted by AI. And so what that does is it burns your engagement. The posts get hidden and they don't get seen. And so yeah. I found it very, very difficult to have it on absolute autopilot. Yeah, it's an incredibly useful tool to have in your toolkit for the foundational stuff, the structure, the framework, and for pinning your ideas too. But you know, it's close. And the rate this stuff is increasing is exponential. And I would bet within the next 3 or 4 years, everything that I've just mentioned will be solved. Then you can click it and it will sound like you. And
yes.
Even now with, a buddy of mine's got a call center that is 100% AI. Yeah. And, they've taken a lot of time. They've programmed it. And when you call in, yeah, the problem is there's still just that little pause. And you can still tell it's not a human conversation. But I'd be willing to bet another 2 or 3 years, and that's it. Game over.
They'll fix the, domo arigato, Mr. Roboto pause.
I mean, it's even now it's fractions of a second. Just longer than a human. So right. When you're listening like to a native speaker, you can tell immediately the difference.
Yeah. We have understandings of cadence and human connection.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's correct. Just reality. And that's correct. The thing too, like I want to get your perspective on this. So for the skeptic out there, and you know, my show as of late has turned to more human conversations as opposed to business conversations, but that's okay. We can talk business. We can also talk human involvement in business. And AI, I think some people, your hardcore skeptics look at it as, well, this is going to replace humans and I don't want to participate in Skynet. You know, from the Terminator, that is.
I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But the reality is, like you said, people know what a social media post looks like. And you alluded to some things that tip that off. I, in my discernment in using AI, I kind of look at the answer like people, judges who score the Olympics. Mm-hmm. You're going to throw out the high score because that's going to be your textbook collegiate level answer that doesn't resonate with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to take out that terrible low score answer, which is what you referenced to. We're just putting something in there to plug the hole.
Right.
It's that part in the middle then that we got to discern and assess. And that's where the humans evolve. That's where somebody like you is involved working with mm-hmm. your clients, somebody like me that's involved working with prompting and structure and outputs. But there's always going to be the people that use AI for good and use it for the powerful tool that it is, there's always going to be humans evolve because we're the distillation, right? We're the peacemaker. We're the conduit to the human on the output, right?
Absolutely. And that's how it works. Yeah. I think, look, so what AI is essentially a bunch of neurons, the artificial neurons. So the brain works off of neurons and synapses. And they recreate that within a digital space. And they recreate it in infinite number of layers of dimensions that all work back and forth and speak to each other. And it's set up the same as a human brain. That's the fundamental like piece of it. It operates on neurons, synapses, and then you can put biases between the calculations to like guide it where you want and stuff. But it's like they built a brain. It is a real artificial brain. And as right now, I believe that, you know, so the human brain has about a trillion different connections inside of it. And the most advanced AI models that we know of are running somewhere between 400 and 450 billion connections inside of them. And so when you take Moore's law into effect and you take the line that technology's progressed in, this evil line that it's gone off ever since computers and valves, you know, storage has pretty much doubled every so many years. When you take that and you realize that we're only one or maybe two doubles away from replicating the entire human brain and how it works, then you got to be like, well, oof, all right. every point we just made about why AI isn't quite the same as humans and it's not good enough, it vanishes. It right. absolutely vanishes. And then there's the other question of consciousness.
Right.
It gets, you know, I don't know how deep you want to go in the show, but like it gets to the point where I believe that humans may be the reproductive organ of technology.
Mm.
And, well, if you follow the major religions, most of them believe that the body is a vessel that the soul inhabits. So what happens when humans create a technology that is so much better than the body that they can transfer the soul to? Because I think that's what's coming. I think the evolution of the human race is the natural evolution of the human race is to step from biological to technological. And I think people will be loading their souls into bodies that it doesn't matter. You can have a spare body or you can have a body here and one in Europe and just download to the one in Europe for the day. Like I really,
they made a movie like that.
I don't know that.
There was a movie. I've referenced it here on the show. Chris found it. It was Bruce Willis was in it. And, the one I'm talking about. I know you did.
Dude, it's from forever ago. Yeah.
Yeah. And he worked, it was a while back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Early 2000s, mid 2000s, I think.
I'm not copying a movie plot.
That was the one with the three.
Yeah.
But anyway, the whole thing of being able to live an alternate life through technology. And, you know, you say selling your soul to technology. I think we've kind of done that already a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
With social media, with the way people present themselves on social media apps, and they're living one life on your screen, mm-hmm. but they're living another life back at home and in their community. Are we not there?
I'm not. I live the same life.
Right.
I'm me. Like, because I learned through years in business that surrogates.
There it is. Surrogates. That's it. That's the one.
Yeah, I might have to give that a rewatch.
That is.
You know, if you're not who you say you are, then what credibility do you have? So when I go into networking events, I'm wearing my hoodie and my hat. I do the exact same things online as I do offline and everything else. Nina's going to get a kick out of that Valentine's balloon that keeps popping up in the background. I'm sorry, I can't take it down. But yeah, man, the evolution of humans, I believe, is not about humans at all. I believe it is about the preservation and extension of consciousness. And that may come outside of the human form, which sounds so weird to say. But there is enough data on you in Facebook and on Apple Podcasts and on everything you've done that you've posted on the internet. Artificial intelligence right now could replicate you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And so the body of work that I have out there. And if you're anybody that's putting content out there, you are creating a body of work. And so if what Sam's saying to you is challenging to your mind and you're saying, no way. Well, when you're freely participating with these applications and right now, these very words we're uploading, you are participating in that matrix-like effect of recreating yourself. I mean, I've tested out type, say this in my voice, you know, and initial versions, generation one, not good. Generation four, far better. Still not going to cut it loose and let it speak for me, but it's getting there.
Well, the scary thing is, like, if you follow the exponential growth and you just draw a line and it goes in a straight line, you know, by 2029, we'll have AI that you can't distinguish from humans. And I think by about 2045 or so, somewhere in there, we will have completely merged with technology. It's unavoidable.
Very interesting perspective.
You will be either the Amish, or you'll be merged, and it will be a divide. It will be a divide like that.
I live around the Amish.
I, you know what? I'm getting pretty good with a hammer and a saw, and I'm down to make some barns, mate. Because like we are going as a species, we're going to integrate with technology.
Yeah,
I firmly believe that, and I don't know that I'm ready for it. I don't know that I want that, but just imagine when you connect your brain to all of the knowledge that's ever existed. And it transfers instantly. And you can pick up a guitar and play Eruption by Van Halen flawlessly. Mm. You can kick a soccer ball in the top corner of a goal every single time you kick it. You can speak any language you want. And why wouldn't you upgrade? Why wouldn't you merge with technology? And then I'm going over here with a saw and a hammer, going to go make a barn, because that's scary. That's scary, dude.
Well, like,
what other ways to go?
Yeah, to the playing guitar and Eruption like Van Halen comment. You know, I sat in on a session yesterday, and there was a sharing of a moment, I guess, that happened in Hollywood, where actors and actresses are now becoming very upset that their images and likenesses are being used, and they're seeing it come to the screen. And, you know, my comment back was, well, that's awful rich, because where were these complaints for the animators and graphic designers when CGI came to be?
Yeah, it's the same thing.
This is all a really interesting conversation about what we accept, what we permit, what we participate in, and where it's going.
But when you can take Elvis Presley and go to Elvis Presley's estate, say, we want to negotiate the rights for movies with Elvis in, and you can take dead superstars. You could make right now a movie with Elvis and a car chase with Marilyn Monroe and Clint Eastwood and John Wayne chasing them down and shooting them. And you can make it right now. The technology's there. So what does it do? Like, what does it do to the estates? How much money are the estates of dead people going to be able to make? Like, it's a double-edged sword, because the actors and actresses now, I'm very close to the film industry, obviously through my relationship with Nina. And like it's got a lot of people very, very, very worried. You know, there's a huge pushback against using artificial intelligence in film, but there's a bunch of people that want to do it, and it doesn't matter who's pushing back. Those people are going to pioneer, and they're going to blaze their own trail.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, isn't the market going to answer that question first?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Aren't the Elvis fans? Who
would you pay to see Elvis and Marilyn Monroe getting chased by John Wayne?
Sure.
Yeah. Like, I might. Yeah, it might be pretty cool.
I'd at least like to see what it looks like for the first time.
Right.
I don't know if I'd be a subscriber, but I might check it out for a half hour.
Exactly.
You know, and ultimately that would be the estate's decision, and mm-hmm. it would be new content. And so it wouldn't be stepping on old contracts. So it's very interesting mm-hmm. thing you bring up. You know, you've referenced Nita a couple times now. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, you've, from a relationship standpoint, obviously, I mean, you guys see it on your socials. I'm friends with you both. You guys are madly in love with each other. Can you share that story? Your love story with Nina?
Yeah, for sure. So, like I hit rock bottom at 37. I lost a company. I was drinking myself to death, and a whole other bunch of stuff happened, and, ended up divorced and just bouncing around between girls, being a tall English bachelor in the middle of Texas, it wasn't bad. But I got to a point where you couldn't pay me to go on a date. You couldn't pay me to think about having a girlfriend. I'm quite all right. I do my own thing. I've got my own company. I mind my own business. And as a part of one of these business classes I was taking, I had to do this manifest your ideal partner thing. And I was raised very blue collar. And at the time, I didn't believe in any of the energy world, any of the vibration, frequency, manifestation. I just thought it was a bunch of hokey crap. And let me say right now that it's absolutely not. But one of these exercises was writing down everything about your ideal partner, like everything. Just write it all out. What, if you had an ideal partner, what would she look like? And I very reluctantly did it, again, because I'd been through the divorce, I'd been through the girlfriend thing, and I wasn't interested. I would have been quite happy just hanging out for the rest of my life by myself and, you know, just no schedule, nobody to be home for, nothing to do, just go smoke a cigar whenever I want, go hang out with my buddies whenever I want. And well, I manifested this list. Yeah, 9 months later, because Nina was in television and I had the little production company, the media company, several people in Apex, in the business network we were in at the time, they said, oh, you got to meet Sam. And so they pushed us to meet. And, you know, on the third time we got together, I was like, look, all right, I've got this list. And, yeah, I'll just get straight to the point. Like, you're it. And she said, well, that's funny. I got a list too.
No way.
Like, you're kind of it. And she shows me this. She's got this scrunched up piece of paper. She's like, I scrambled it up. I didn't think anyone would come. I didn't believe in it. And she got this scrunched up piece of paper and, you know, it's got tall and it's got business owner and it's got, you know, European and it's got like loves music. And I'm just like, all right. And so, yeah, 9 days later, she had a kick to my house. Like, and dude, if I'd known who she was, I wouldn't have even talked to her. Like, are you kidding me? I didn't know her history. I didn't really know her backstory. I didn't know about any of it. Like, none of it. And so, yeah. And she's, you can see, I know the producers, they're pulling stuff up from socials. If you go to ninakaczydrowski.com, you can see a whole website portfolio. She's just amazing. I mean, like, I don't know if she fell down the stairs and hit her head and fell in love with me or what, but I just feel like, you know, the luckiest guy in the world to get a second chance at a really meaningful long-term relationship. And yeah. It all came from sitting down and defining what I wanted in a partner. And the strange thing is, Jeff, when you define what you want, it focuses you so closely on that, you automatically reject anything that doesn't fit. And that's what happened.
Let's dig into that, because I think for anybody listening, whether you're in business, whether you're somebody that's going through an immense struggle right now, even if your life you feel is good, you know, you're even Steven, everything's all right. Fundamentally in our society, I think it's greeted not well when you say, this is what I want. And this is also what I reject. Not at the detriment of others, but to be defined in goal, desire, income, purpose makes a lot of people uncomfortable. Why do you feel that is?
Purely from the judgment of others. I think we're like a herd. And a lot of times, if you stick your head up, you get trampled on. And you know, you hate to see it, but people want you to see you do well, but they don't want to see you do better than them.
Yeah, right.
And
do good, just not good as me.
You know, so when I say, yeah, I manifest an income of $250,000 a month. Okay. That's my manifestation. I go out every day and I walk in the woods and I pray and I've got this income goal. Well, why is that income goal? Well, I've seen it before. I used to do close to that when I had my supplement business. And I know it can be done. I know I can achieve it. And if I make $250,000 a month, think how much good I can do with that money. Think how much of it I can give away. Think how much good stuff I can build with that. Wouldn't it be cool, right? To focus on making $250,000 a month And they're taking that $250,000 a month and doing cool stuff with it to make everybody's life better. Like, that'd be pretty cool. And so, like, whenever I manifest something, like, I'm not afraid to say it out loud. But me from 10 years ago, if I'd have said, this is my goal, my entire peer group would have laughed at me.
Right.
You know? And so I think it's an overused term, but the crabs in the bucket thing. When one crab sees another one start to get out, they pull them down, which then makes people afraid. They're afraid of the judgment. And you say, well, it's like, let's look at it this way. Would you date a trans woman? No, I wouldn't. Well, then you're anti-trans. Like, no, I'm not. No, not one bit. You live your life how you please. God bless you.
Right.
And people are scared to say what they want. And it's because of the fear of judgment from everyone around them. And when you can let go of that, when you understand that all there is now, tomorrow's gone. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here. All there is now. And those people don't really care about you because they're all living in their now. You're just a bit player in their world.
Yeah.
To them, you're an actor. You're just somebody that appears along their storyline. And so when you know that only you really matter and your core surroundings of your loved ones, when those are really only the people that matter, it gets a lot easier to jettison the opinions of other people and to work for what it is you want, because what you want always feeds back positively to those people closest around you.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think it's all just people being scared of judgment.
Yeah,
they don't dare say it.
Yeah, the players in the storyline, man, that hit in a certain way. I love how you said that, you know? So I guess the answer is find people more into making an epic 15-year series with you, right?
Let me jump into this for just a second. Right, so you know that the saying that older world's a stage.
Right.
Yeah. And all we are players, or was it performers and portrayers? Wasn't that Rush? So all the world's a stage. That means, right, we're actors. And so again, back to consciousness and the soul. I believe we're consciousness occupying a body, having a human experience. And I believe you and I are of the same consciousness. We all are, but we're all occupying different bodies, having different experiences. And one of the things I teach to get around this and get over it is an I am statement. Now, an I am statement is a full page of who you are, who you aspire to be, the character that you want to play. And then when you get up in the morning and you say, right, how am I going to act today? When you read your I am statement, and mine says, it says a lot, but let's say it says, I am now a world-class business consultant, leader and mentor, working with a select niche of clients, helping them to, and, you know, on it goes, right? So when I get up and when I put on my cloak, this is the guy I'm going to play today. I'm wearing the small business surgeon. And one night I might take him off and go smoke a cigar, right? But right now I'm wearing this. I'm a mentor. I'm a leader. I'm a top class business consultant. And I put that on, which causes me to say, okay, if I was going to be a good leader in this position, what would I do? If I was going to be a good mentor in this position, what would I do?
Yeah.
Would a world-class business consultant have a postgrad in artificial intelligence and machine learning and business applications? You know, and it drives who you want to become. It tells the actor how to act. You write your own script. You read that out and then you put on that cloak and you become that actor for the day. And I just do that every day.
Yeah. You know, I want to share a little success story from my life today, if please. I may.
Absolutely.
And it directly dovetails into that I am statement. And before I go too further, I want to preface that anybody watching, it is not selfish to have this kind of focus on yourself.
Really?
Because when you're not a whole person, when you don't have a page of I am statements, you now have a page of you are statements. You mm-hmm. are this person to that person. This person to this other person. You're not you. And
it's so true.
Fill out that page of I am statements. And here's the clarity as Sam referred to. So I've personally been working on this. Some of you have been on this journey with me right here on the screen through some of the episodes in this show. and I've been working for 15 months to figure out who am I? Well, it really came to be this week through, there's a lot of immense personal stuff going on at home. Everything's fine, but it's part of the journey of life. And for me, who am I? I'm a living example of courage, meant to shine light on goodness and amplify that light, turn the dial up. And where there's darkness, shine light on that fiercely, doggedly, for both good and bad.
I love that.
And so it hit me this morning in my personal time and study. And then I get this email. And this email says the Pennsylvania EITC tax program is at risk. Mm-hmm. Now, to not make this a long story, EITC basically says in PA, and I know that's available in other states, but in Pennsylvania, as a business, you are allowed to direct 90% of your state income tax owed to an educational program that the state has approved.
Oh, wow. I like that.
Yeah, it's very cool. And so I personally have had on my Lancaster Connect show, which Chris and Cast Ahead produce, we've had Swan for Kids. Swan for Kids does music education for children whose parents are incarcerated and delivers mental health reinforcement and programming to help those kids understand their emotions, understand where they are in life, and that this moment doesn't define them. And they can better learn through music. It's a fantastic program.
Dude.
Largely funded by EITC. If it were to go away, it would be devastated. Just this week on Monday, I was voted in as a communications chair on our local career center board's education foundation. We too derive a large amount of funding from EITC. So I get this news, this bill is going to eviscerate it. And, you know, making the long story, trying to keep it short, the bill has been pulled back in large part because of outcry from folks like myself.
Mm-hmm.
But rather than go to social media and create a us versus them statement, I just simply said, look, here's the successes.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the goodness. And I put light on it. And I wasn't afraid to say it, despite what maybe other people might say is an attack on their belief system of the political world. That's the courage, right? Because I have friends of all types and all parties and affiliations.
Yeah.
I just kept it focused on dialing up the light on the goodness, and that if we turn it out, it's going to be dark.
Yeah.
And here's the thing that happened. The local state rep who sponsored the bill, who wrote it, drafted it, calls me, DMs me, says, I want to talk with you. Here's my cell phone number. I could call you. Give me yours and I'll call you within a few minutes. We had a great conversation. He is now bringing Swan for Kids in at the state level to present in the state house.
You did that.
I did that. And I'm not afraid to say it.
Right.
And that's what I mean. When we focus on ourselves,
mm-hmm.
we can pour way more of all of who we are. And every one of us, we're one of one copy in 800 billion or 8 billion or more. All of us have the ability to step out and shine light on others. And so long-windedly, that was my day so far. And now I'm here with you.
Man, you know, 2 points to this. The first one is, music for kids is one of the most important things that you can give to
it. I knew you'd like that.
Yeah. You know, I grew up in music. I came through music schools and stuff. And, you know, having poor kids, the politically correct term, dude, having poor kids get access to music and access to music therapy and music lessons and just being able to show them into that world. It gives them an outlet for their creativity. It gives them a space to develop their mental health. It gives them something positive to focus on. It puts them in a group environment where they're performing with other children, making friends and interacting. And dude, music is just, it's so fundamentally important to the mental health and well-being of kids.
Yeah.
Like, God bless you for doing that program. And the second point I wanted to make there is at New Year's a couple of years ago, they wanted to close the bars for COVID again, and they just reopened them. And at the time, my business owners group had about 800 people in it. And some guys ignored the fact and said, well, I guess we're going to go close. And I talked to a few of my friends, said, what do you want to do? And they said, well, we want to open. What can we do? And me and one other guy went and stood in front of the commissioner's court and told them all the good things that the local businesses did. And we represented 800 business owners. And would they please consider leaving the bars open? And the judge took us back into his chambers. We talked for about 2.5 hours. And then later that day, it came out on the news that, hey, you know what? We're going to leave the bars open. And we did that. Like, how many bars would have lost business on New Year's Eve?
Yeah. And
the point that I'm trying to make with this is you think that you can't have an impact or an influence or anything because what you watch on the news or what you read in the newspaper. But these people put their pants on one leg at a time, just like we do. And the majority of politicians are there for the right reasons. And, you know, they want to make an improvement. So if I could give anybody any advice for changing the world, start with local politics. Start with getting involved in what's going on in your county, in your city, at your city hall, and go from there. Because everybody involved at that local level, they're all involved to try to make the community better, even though you've got disagreements, even though you've got different ideas, even though one of you's pulling one way, one of you's pulling the other way. You're both doing it, or they're all doing it with the intent of how can we protect our community? How can we make our community better? How can we help the kids in our community? So the intent is there. I think just people are scared to get involved. And like, if you want to change the country, everybody wants a revolution, right? Good luck. If you want to change the country, change yourself. Be the best version of you you can be. Get your cup full.
That's right.
Start pouring into other people's cups and start impacting the neighborhoods around you, the towns around you, and the counties around you. And you will change the course of the country. It's a culture problem, right? You're not going to solve it with a revolution. You'll get just another bunch of crooks in charge, right? You've got to solve it with the individual.
But they'll be my crooks, Sam.
We are not crooks, Jeff. There is more than enough in this world for every single one of us to be happy and comfortable. This planet is abundant with life, and the natural human condition is increase. And we can all increase everybody else's. There's no losers. But then when you start to be corrupt and you start to be greedy and you start to like amass fortunes for nefarious purposes, that's where the downfall comes every time.
Yeah, 100%. 100%, man. What a great part in our conversation. I love that we got there. That's the thing what I love about this show is I just bring great people on that I jive with, that I feel could add value to anybody who's going to watch this. And man, that like last 15 minutes or so about yourself and about you, please like rewind the tape, you know, hit the back button on your app or wherever you're watching or listening. And go back, and it's okay to be comfortable with investing in yourself and identifying who are you? What you have, you're that one in 8 billion copy.
Yeah.
It's been given to you. Now, however you believe it was given to you is irrelevant to me. I believe what I believe. You believe what you believe.
But it's open to suggestions. I have no idea how it works. There's probably some dude called God up there somewhere. I'm pretty sure he's around. I just don't know how it all works, you know?
Right. But it's the point being is however you've arrived here and you're one of 8 billion.
Yes.
And unlike a 1 in 1,000 supercar, a 1 in 10,000 Rolex watch, 1 of 1, that's important.
Mm-hmm.
And there's brilliance there and there's awesomeness there and there's good there that you can do. And you're right. It's right there in your backyard. We aspire to these bigger stages, but you could be a major player on your own stage right around the corner.
And
you're going to drive past those buildings and you're going to see those people each day. And that to me is really important. So bringing this back to small business surgeon. I mean, obviously if you've listened this far, you've gotten to know Sam, you see Sam's, you know, makeup, the composition of things. Give us a couple of success stories where you've brought your brilliance into things and you've just been able to, you know, you talked about the income level you want to hit. Mm. Let's talk about some of those things you've hit for your clients and what it's meant for them.
Man, one of my favorites was I can't say too much because he's in the security world. But this fella didn't understand how to value himself, how to value his time, and more importantly, how to find the 20% of his business that was bringing in 80% of his profits. And I love this story because he's gone on to be wildly successful. There is a onboarding process within his business, and his business charges by the hour. And he was very much a proponent of any business is good business. Give me all the clients that I can get. And so when you've got a bar booking a security guy for 3 hours on a Saturday night, it's the same amount of paperwork as a hospital booking six security guys on 3 8-hour shifts, 7 days a week.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so
I see exactly where you're going.
So we work with him twofold. We work with his mind. And so what do you want to achieve? What kind of income goals do you want? And man, if I could talk and pull up a screenshot at the same time, I don't know where the file is, but I'll dig it out and send it to you. And we work with his mind. So one of the things, a national corporation got a hold of him, and they flew him out to Georgia to consult on a problem that they had with increasing violence in their stores. And he told me they'd had six other consultants fly out and none of them could fix it. And he fixed it. And I said, he's like, I don't know what to charge. I said, what would you usually charge? I said, last time, I just charged him my hourly rate from my job. So he had flown across the country to consult with a national corporation, probably international corporation, about their security issues that were recurring that they need to solve. And he charged them $55 an hour for 4 hours. So we fixed that. Mm-hmm. And it took about 9 months, and they went from $100,000 months. I did not crack a million. My goal is to work with guys and then push them off into the world. Yeah, I'm sure. Not one of these guys that says, you're going to sign up with me and you're going to stay with me for... There's only a finite amount of stuff I can teach you. And when I've added the value, then it's time for you to take the reins and go. But we scaled that company, and the month before I left, they did $993,000 in sales in a month.
Wonderful.
And so that was one. Another one we did was this is one of my favorites, was a classic car dealer with a YouTube channel. And what I found when I was selling media was if I sell you media, I can make you the best video you've ever seen. I can do the timing and the music and the feeling and the emotion, and I can engage people and bring in leads. But if your business isn't like ready for it, it's a complete waste of money. You have to charge a lot. There's two or three of you out there for days filming and editing and putting it together. And so what I started to learn was it was much more impactful to the company if I spent the time sitting with their employees and actually physically teaching them how to put this together, how to make the videos. And you go out, you buy this many cameras, and I'll come in and we'll teach you how to do it. And it was far more impactful doing that. And so I spent a week with these guys and I taught them. I just worked on them with one thing. I taught them everything I could think of, everything I knew about YouTube and how to optimize their YouTube, how to SEO the channel. And like when I started working with them, they were averaging 500 to 1,000 views a video. And after we got done, it's now 18 months later. And I got to give full credit to them, full credit to their staff, because they did a wonderful job. And you know, when you first get on camera, you're super nervous and you're really crying. Mm-hmm. That's how they were. And they are outstanding now. They've put in the work. And now they post a video and 2 days later, it's got 50,000 views.
Yeah.
I love watching their stuff. I watch it on YouTube. They still got the intros that we did and that. It's great. I love it. And it's getting to go into companies and have like a major impact on their bottom line that it just gives me the most joy in the world. It's so good. We watch the lights come on in other people.
It is.
And when you help them, like it's not about how much money can I make off this guy. It's about how much impact can I have with this guy to where we can make money together continually, and where like I push him out of bed, dude. Like my most of my programs are 3 months. Mm-hmm. Like I don't want you hanging out with me forever. I love you. I like you. I'll answer all your questions. But if you can't get it turned around in 3 months with me giving you this, then like it's, you're not working hard enough. You know?
And it comes down to that you have a soul. Mm-hmm. That you have a conscience, that you have integrity, because you know, if you go much longer beyond what you teach, mm-hmm. it's an application problem. It's a belief problem on their part.
Mm-hmm. But also I'm teaching them like so intensively in the beginning. Like by the time it's month three, I've already taught you pretty well. If you're not executing it, we need to go back. It's cumulative. It stacks up. But if you do it once a week, 12 weeks, you should be done and you should be flying. And like, I do have longer term clients, obviously, that they turn more into mentoring things. But I want you to get out there and work and get out there and crack it and then go out and spread the message. Once you understand what I'm teaching and once you understand how it works, it's your duty to go out and share it with your friends and teach them how to do it, teach them how to manifest. And like no fire ever got dimmer by lighting another fire. Just reach out, light the next candle. It doesn't cost me anything. I'm burning anyway. I'm a flame anyway. So I'm a hub of relentless love and joy and appreciation. So what does it matter to reach out and touch you and make you smile? And you know, the secret is that you got to say good morning to everybody. You've got to smile at everybody. You've got to give a compliment to everybody. It doesn't cost anything. And the joy you feel back. Think of the lady in the gas station that's serving people at the counter all day. You know, think how good she feels when you smile at her and compliment her sweater. Yeah. Like it's just the tiny little things. And you go around set other people on fire. That's not right, is it? I'll get arrested for that.
I think we know what you meant.
Are you understand where I'm going with this?
You just light them up. And I'll say as we approach our time, you know, in all my time and episodes of this show, you're the first quote unquote coach. And I use that word, not you.
I'll allow it. It's okay.
But
it sounds good.
Yeah, you're the first person who said that. My fire is already burning. I've lit a fire with you. Now go light a fire somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I think that in itself speaks to the integrity, the work ethic, the passion that Sam is going to bring to you if you choose to connect with him through being on the show here. We've had all of Sam's contact info in the show. We've had it on the screen. We've got it with the show notes. Again, that's thanks to Chris at Cast Ahead. He's such a tactician and thorough expert with this stuff that we make it easy. I get to show up and just talk and have great conversations with great people like Sam. Love that we got to have that deep dive into AI. I thoroughly love that conversation.
Just unplug it, mate.
Thank you for sharing about that beautiful relationship you have with Nina. I know over the weekend here, you'll have a grand time. Yeah. Man, it's been such a good time talking with you. I just appreciate you so much.
Yeah, I've loved being on here, Jeff. It's been an absolute pleasure getting to talk to you and getting to talk to your audience, man. And I've got a full cup, so I love pouring into others. So this is right up my street.
Very good, man. Well, thank you for stopping by the show. I very much appreciate you, your time, and everybody can go to smallbusinesssurgeon.com to connect with Sam.
Correct.
Yeah. So listen, thank you so much for being on the show, watching this week's show, listening to it. I love that you're here with the Big Ticket Life, wherever you may be picking it up, LinkedIn, YouTube, Facebook, any of the podcast players or the amazing DBTV app. I'd love for you to give us a like, a subscribe, a follow to the show so you get all the latest episodes delivered right to you. This week ahead, I challenge you to go be that living example of courage. I gave you a great example that this week that happened in my personal life. People need courage. People are facing struggles. You can show them how to face them head on. do this by asking not why me, but instead what's meant for me. What can you learn from what's going on in your life? Showcase your unique superpower and live as that living example of courage. That's my challenge to you this week. Thank you for tuning into The Big Ticket Life, and we'll see you next time. Take care. You just heard another impactful show on The Big Ticket Life, challenging leaders to lead with courage and work to solve the clash that exists between those they lead and the lives they live. Now is the time to focus on leveling up the humans you lead and the impact you can create in their lives. It's time to lead with courage and be a living example of courage. I'd love for you to go to thejeffg.com/mission. That's thejeffg.com/mission right now and book a call with me to discuss how to integrate these examples of courage into your leadership, how to approach your team with vulnerability, and most importantly, so we can plan out how you'll invest and level up the humans you lead for maximum healing and impact so you can be the leader your people need every day. Visit thejeffg.com/mission. That's thejeffg.com/mission right now and book a call with me today.